Hello, everyone. Welcome on back to the Wide World of Wargaming X-Wing segment. As always, I am your host, Vincent Leonard Morgado. Joining me, as usual, Drew Bishop and the irascible Jeff Wilder.
Hello, Drew. Doesn't get an adjective this week?
No, he was late. But the guest of honor, the gentleman we have invited to join us on the program tonight, Mr. Rick Rudell of Northern California's own Team Militant Casuals. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me.
We are very glad you took this opportunity to join us. I did get the descriptor right for Militant Casuals, correct?
Yeah, NorCal is where it started, but we pride ourselves on being inclusive, so literally anybody who wants to call themselves a Militant Casual is a Militant Casual.
They're more casually militant, but sorry.
I'll let that ride,
Drew. You had you professed an interest in saying something, I believe, earlier. Why don't you go? I'm giving you your opportunity now, Drew.
No, I missed it. I was going to go with the Maul. I was expecting Kenobi. Why are you here when you introduced Rick? So,
Rick, one of the traditions of the show that it developed fairly quickly is Drew throwing out a different stupid Star Wars quote after always introing with hello there.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. All right. Well, gentlemen, there were a few hyperspace trials that occurred over the last 2 weeks that we didn't get a chance to cover while nerding out over episode nine and wave five. Let's go ahead and just jump right in. We do occasionally like to talk about competitive events. First one on our list, the Nightwatch Games hyperspace trial in the great state of Texas. I don't want to piss Drew off by saying that, of course, Foreship Rebels won because Foreship Rebels is the best thing ever. But it was won by Wedge, Jake, Braylon, and Cassian Andor. Just further proof that Cassian is, in fact, the best U-Wing pilot. Anything else is incorrect. Second place to a similar list, Wedge, Cassian, Dutch, and Braylon. Third place to a TIE Swarm. Fourth place, again, to Foreship Rebels. I'm sensing a pattern with this meta. And then after that, we're looking at mostly, I see, Imperials, except for... Is that six Blue Squadron recruits with Crackshot? I like it.
Can we talk about for a second that Turfaneer made top cut?
That's our thing. My friends and I, oh man, we love it. But also, I wanted to point out that, of course, you know, which of these Foreship Rebel lists was going to win? Obviously, the one with 1337 MOV. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I guess we know who the best pilot of that store is.
Right.
Also, we want to give a shout out to the Carolina Crates for saying that Wedge is bad, clearly.
I mean,
over and over and over again.
Will I ever let it go? No, I will not.
Oh, and here's the Swarm Tactics Proton Torpedoes all the way down at 11th. That must be the bad one.
That's the bad one.
Not to mention one of my favorite overcosted combos, Benthic with Perceptive, because there's no way that's
overcosted. Excuse me, that's a fully modded proton torpedo out of Wedge.
Yeah, but it's also on a 55-point U-Wing. Yeah, I rest my case. Thank you very much.
25-point proton torpedo.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all noticed one thing before we got on the show that kind of made some of us laugh. Five Tempest Squadron fire control systems made the top cut. Now, Rick, you are the person who has flown more Empire.
And look at recently. That MOV, by the way.
Yeah, he clapped people. MOV. He clapped people.
Well, here's the thing. Is when you're going up a Rebel Beef, what has a lot of hole and doesn't like crits?
Right, nor has the maneuverability to, like, look at everything, right? Like,
and so the one reason I don't like Tempests is because... When they take their target lock, they're sitting there with no green tokens. And you know what dies very quickly? Yeah.
Things without green tokens.
Yeah, something with three agility and no green tokens. And so I'm looking at that list and I'm like, how did that survive to turn three of any of its matchups?
Because it's a variance list. It's a list where if you roll above the curve, if you roll above a standard deviation of the curve, you're going to kick ass because they just won't die.
Real quick, it's a product of the meta, right? Like, you see all of these Foreship Rebel lists, and almost all of them have, you know, at least a single ship in them that only rolls one green die. right? Like one green evade. And so I feel like
and the, so if you're pushing through a reroll crit.
Yeah, right? Like it with that many, with five of them, even without the green dice, you know, if you engage properly with them, you might lose one of the four, but you're going to kill something.
You're not going to kill something on first pass because you don't have your target locked.
Yeah, you have to focus up just to survive the first one. But once you get to the turnaround, I mean, if you could survive, really, it's, I hate to say it, do you maybe kite with this?
Oh, like you have kind to. Of,
yeah, you have that's to. What I'm thinking you have to do is you kite away and try to survive two or three shots and just focus people down kind of in like in turn in engagements and then turn away again. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, thing too, the beef isn't like a brawling type list, right? Like they, sure, you know, they can lay out to like, oh man, you know, you're behind me. Now I can, you know, I can see you now. But I do feel like, yeah, if you kite with, you know, you send two of them in with green tokens while the other three flank and lock, right? And, you know, again, you need the engagement range three through a rock, right? You're single focus. Maybe you're getting shot at by one or two ships. Like, I think the list has teeth. It's just it has to play a very specific way. And like I said before, I think that it's built specifically to deal with the meta, at least in that area, looking, which is four ship rebels. So,
see, I think if we were built to deal with the meta, it would be storm squadrons.
Well, but you can't get a fifth if you do storm.
There's no selfless in the top cut. There is not one rebel list with selfless in this top cut.
Yeah, none of them. None of the four ship rebels have selfless.
Going back to what Minox were saying, way back when they were talking about scum and they were talking about teching like turn alpha, whatever they were saying. Like he looked at it and he turned alpha this tournament. He saw there's going to be so many rebels. Heck, I like a Tempest Swarm versus Soontir even, because if one of those crits gets through, sucks to suck, Soontir.
But yeah. On the other hand, if one of the crits gets through against Turf and Air, he's got a shield.
Wait, they put a shield on Turf? Oh my god, they did.
True. That's why he did somewhat. That's why he did better than Soontir in this list. In this tournament.
So does Soontir, actually. Soontir
not on the previous list with the pair of barrage bombers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm just baffled. I honestly think that there is it's 25 hit points. That's a lot behind five agility. If you can survive to get the target locked.
Yeah, I was looking at that versus the list right below it with Dutch with proton torpedoes. At two shields and six hull and one agility, Dutch evaporates in a single turn like 9 times out of 10.
Yes. There's not really math is pretty clear on that.
I mean, it kind of will. And this, you know, we were talking about hyperspace in general being like more of like a jousty, like it's all about how you engage. And I think that this tournament really kind of highlights that like tenfold, right? Like,
yeah, there was probably not a whole lot of engagements on like the 30 minute mark. No. Yeah. These guys just kind of got into it.
Yeah, I was gonna say like there's no turn six or seven in these tournaments, right?
Yeah, and it's something to be said that the first place in both Cut and Swiss was a Alpha Rebel Swarm, or Rebel Beef Alpha Rebel Beef list, which has.
Is it beef if there's an A-wing?
Yeah, because it's the Leia, Cassian, Braylon, and Wedge that have the beef. Jake is just hanging out there going, hey, everybody take a focus. Yeah,
it's the total hit points. It's not...
Doesn't Cassian pull stress, right?
He does eat stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense with Jake, right? Because you can be reckless with Jake and then or literally Braylon. Move anywhere next turn.
The interesting thing is, look at that list with Jake. The fourth place list with Jake. No Leia. No crew carrier there.
But,
mm-hmm.
But that list is still
no Leia.
That's still
it's a brave man.
Proton fully modded proton torpedoes. Jake is not in that first engagement. Jacobin, he Dutch Garvin. Have a folk. That's a two fully modeled proton torpedoes and a wedge.
Yep.
That's an alpha strike.
Wedge with crack shot. That is quite an alpha strike. It really is.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that way Wedge doesn't have to save his action for a focus. He can use it to line up that bullseye on his first pass. So, like, especially a boost. I mean, that's probably really what it was.
That list destroys Cassian Andor on the first pass. If Cassian Andor
destroys a lot of things on the first pass.
What I'm saying is the important thing is I bet Cassian is his target. You lose your advantage over me on the first pass before you ever get to use it.
And you should still have the edge over them because your opponent isn't rocking proton torpedoes. Meanwhile, almost all of them, you know, half the list has one set of torpedoes left.
Mm-hmm. That's really smart. That's a good...
Well, I'm looking at that. Also, the action economy is ridiculous with Dutch and Garvin. Who doesn't have a focus token and a target lock on the first turn?
Garvin.
I saw that four-star video.
Well, no, Jake, I'm looking at it, and Dutch takes a target lock and gives one to Garvin. Jake barrel rolls for a focus, boosts for a focus, and gives the second focus to Wedge. Then Wedge moves up and takes a target lock, and Garvin moves up and takes a focus. And then after Garvin spends his focus on his torpedo, he passes it to Dutch, and everybody has a target lock and focus except for Jake, who only has a focus.
Yeah, that's a lot. I would love to know how he lost to the number one list.
Definitely a more conventional result.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of surprises other than our friend Kent Whitney with his 5 Tempest squad. So salute to you, sir, and for having the best MOV at the event. Let's jump to Cool Stuff Waterford in the Orange State, Florida. And we finally have a Republic winner. Sinker with a 104th Battalion pilot and 4 Gold Squadron troopers. Now that's beef. That's 38 hull?
Well, 39.
Sorry, 39.
Yeah, that's...
Holy God.
There's only one way to get more than that, and that is to turn Sinker into another 104th. Which lets you put 2 veteran tails and a shield into that list.
I like Sinker for the rerolls, though.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. No, that makes that list hit like a truck.
I mean, it's basically like it's fire control systems, the ship, right? Like.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's Republic Howlrunner.
It's strong. I almost want to put it on the table because I really like the V-19, but I don't own that many. So.
Hey, if you want to come play with me, I have 4 you can borrow.
Oh, if only the time.
What do you guys think of the 4-point shield upgrade on Sinker?
I love shield upgrades on 1B chips.
Jeff,
I'm a huge proponent of it on B-Wings. I'm probably as much of a proponent on ARCs.
But there's a difference, though, Vince. On a B-Wing, your shield upgrade takes you to 9 hull.
Oh, here comes Jeff with this again.
On an ARC, it takes you to 10.
Jeff, let me ask you this question.
Second.
You see 4 Gold Squadron troopers, a 104th Battalion pilot, and Sinker across the table from you. What do you kill first?
You beat me too, Rick.
I get that it's an extra hit point. I'm just saying I'm not sure it's an extra hit point worth 4 points. All it gets you is an extra hit point, as opposed to getting you to... odd health.
But it also keeps your most important ship on the board longer.
Every other ship there. Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? It's extra health.
It's extra health on 1 agility. There's a reason that it costs less on 1 agility. It's more likely to be lost through blow through. It's more likely that 1 health on 1 agility doesn't matter because you take 2 damage while you've got 1 health. You know, or,
that's an entirely 2 damage while you have 2 damage argument. Left.
I would take the shield 10 out of 10 times.
That's why
because if I can get Sinker to turn 2, that by itself is huge.
Right. I mean, if you just roll the evades, you know, or you know, you I mean, you know,
and it's with all the
proton torpedo alpha strike, you know, surviving by that 1 health can give you, you know, it can make or break a game.
And anything to keep
but here's the thing,
keep your rerolls on the board longer is what I say.
Well, here, and I was going to say, Jeff, if you had the 4 points in this list, what would you take instead of Shield Upgrade?
That's the thing. I haven't looked, and that's what I was asking, because yes, Shield Upgrade gets you one hit point, but that is all it gets
right,
you.
Right.
As opposed to what you put Shield Upgrade on a B-Wing, you get a lot more than one hit point. So I'm asking if maybe there's something in this list. I haven't looked. I don't know Republic that well yet. So I haven't looked to
see
if
they're very upgrade limited. They are extremely upgrade limited.
But
well, especially in hyperspace, there's not a whole lot that you can actually.
What about an R4?
I don't like the weapon disabled.
I mean, do you really need to be able to fly better with a list like this? I think the whole point is to.
R4 doesn't work on mediums.
That's why
R2.
He said R2?
R2.
So yeah. R2 gives you two shields, but it also gives you two weapons disabled, and an R throws a lot of dice. I don't want to be weapons disabled.
Jeff has a strange obsession with even hole with odd hole point ships.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. Would you put a hole upgrade on E-Wings to get them to odd health?
He just wouldn't fly E-Wings.
No, because they're... I tried to fly E-Wings. They're just too... E-Wings are too...
They're too...
Oh, my God.
Sorry. You went for like 30 seconds. It's punishment.
Drew, you're on a five-minute timeout.
Three agility is too much to bank on it. It's too much to bank on. But I'll tell you what. I truly believe that every first-order ship being even hit points hampers First Order as a faction. I genuinely believe that. Every single one of their ships is even hit points. Look at the ships that are really strong in resistance, the T-70s, odd hit points. The ARCs are nine hit
T-70s
points.
The T-70s are strong because their pilot skills are all great. They would be good in regular X-Wings.
Everybody is doing B-Wings with hull and shield upgrades now.
And that's why the Epsilon gets a shield so easy.
Exactly.
So why don't Resistance A-Wings have shields?
Because they're really, really strong even without it.
Yeah, the fact that they can double reposition, like I just played a game with them the other day against a TIE Swarm, and oh my gosh, like the barrel roll boost, I mean, it's like 1.0 again, except it's worse because you can barrel roll boost... actually, you can't technically rotate your arc, but being able to shoot behind you, it's unreal. And I don't think that, you know, maybe Lulo, maybe like the shield upgrade, but like, you know, you're paying through the teeth for it with the three agility. Yeah. So
they don't have a mod slot.
Oh, that too.
I will own that I was miffed that the Resistance A-Wings didn't get an extra shield like any other Resistance ship. Having now seen 5 A-Wings on the table, I would be crying in a corner if they had an extra shield.
They'd be too strong, though.
I mean, we agree that at the very least, Lulo's going up in cost, right?
I think
at the very least.
Lulo and Talissa are both going to go up.
Talisson?
Talisson, Talissa, whatever. Talissa's better.
Tali's still... There are some good lists out there. Another friend of mine is running he's running Tali, Lulo, Elo, and Nian. And Elo and Nian have a pretty decent amount of upgrades on them. And while the list, you know, struggles against Initiative Sixes, like it flies like no other. And I mean, you've got enough toys and the pilot skills are good, you know.
The Resistance Fives can beat most. Me and Jeff were talking about like what we would call a Republic A list. The Quad Fives for Resistance are an A list.
I will openly admit that
I think so.
Imperial Aces, Robots, and like there's been a couple other lists that I've fallen in love with. That's my style. But I have tried to fly Resistance and First Order many times, and I just can't make them work. I just don't know if like there is anything in those is S tier.
I think everyone has a certain certain faction or set of lists that they're capable of flying. And it takes a highly above average player to be equally good with any list from any faction on a short amount of practice. Like, I don't think it's anything to do with you, man.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and that's the thing too. If you really look at the pilots, right, their abilities and the ships themselves, like there's not a whole lot to choose from. And I really feel like that's actually one of the things that's drawn me to the Resistance is like it's all ace play because that's all they have. I mean, you know, you could build a different list with Rey, right? But there are better, or the Falcon, but there are better lists with the Falcon.
Rebel Falcon is just better.
A la, you know, Han. Exactly. There's just better Falcons out there. So, you know, basically the Resistance aces is basically all that they have.
Scum Falcon's better for that matter.
I mean, I love me my aces, but also I will openly admit that I am on a hook. I'm tilting at windmills trying to get R4 Daredevil Black Squadron aces to be a thing.
You're not getting cancer, are you?
What?
Drew, we are going to have a talk about your timing. This is that's going in the show notes for this week.
So you're trying to do what? Four Black Squadron pilots? Four Black Squadron X-Wing?
No. Right now, the list I have built, hang on, let me pull up my app, and I will fill the airtime while I'm pulling it up. It's two Black Squadron aces of the I-4 T-70s. They have heavy laser cannons, R-4 Astros, and Daredevil. And then they're flying with Poe with heroic R4 advanced optics and heavy laser.
I've always wanted to run Daredevil with Resistance, but I don't have the guts.
Well, I'm looking at it.
I am not a Daredevil.
Well, the blue two hards into the one hard boost, it's fun.
Wait, why aren't you playing, what's her name? Kari Kun? The one who has Daredevil built in?
Is she I3 or I4?
She's 4.
I mean, I could sub one of them out. Part of the reason I'm running two Black Squadron aces is because I bought a T-70 expansion pack. So I now have two Black Squadron ace tiles, and I want to use them both.
And you have to, yeah. It's the syndrome of buying something and then like, oh, I have to play with this.
Yep.
Kari Kun is one of the, I think it's one of the Resistance pilots that gets left behind a lot because she's good. She just isn't as good as Ello and Nien.
Yeah, I agree. And she's only a couple of points less. Yeah, but her Daredevil boost is not red.
Yeah.
She still has the elite talent slot, too.
Yeah. So I could put Predator on her and just have total fun with it. Except for that doesn't work with HLC. Dang it.
You could put Outmaneuver on her.
I mean, I think you should.
Or Heroic.
Well, oh, wait. Yeah, what are we talking about? Why aren't we the best upgrade in the game? Stop. Full stop.
Yeah.
I want to talk about two other lists from this event just because it is going to end. We are going to talk about Republic.
Second place with what I never would have thought only three Vultures could, you know, do well.
DFS 311, he's there. I told you guys somebody was going to win with him.
Oh, sorry. Four Vultures.
Hey, look. Hull upgrade to make a ship odd hit points.
I mean, also, hull upgrade to keep your most expensive ship on the board longer.
Also, hull upgrade because it's a Sith infiltrator and, like, there are pennies on that ship.
It's a 3-point. It's 3-point health. Hang on, guys.
You guys are under how much the half-player
rule. I think everyone needs to look.
I'm more perplexed by the fact that there are four munitions fail-safes in this list.
Yeah, that was the one thing.
So somebody's gone and hard to make use of these quartered whatever cards from FFG.
No one wants to hear about the three I6s.
No. Jeff, I'm asserting host privilege. I want everyone to look at the droid in this list.
DFS 311, the spend in and to calculate to ignore crits.
Nope. K2B4. K2B4. What did I say?
Oh, was that the evade one?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
That is how you keep these guys alive longer. I am 100% certain that that made a difference over the course of this game. 100%.
The munitions failsafe is actually a really nice failsafe, but there's the thing too. You don't, because with the energy shell charges, you don't spend your calculate. You just have to have one, right? Yeah, so what these do is did you roll well for the energy cell? Okay, you know, spend the token, right, to like mod the hits. Did you not spend it? Then save it and K2B4 can
Yes.
Yep.
And you don't have to recharge the energy shells.
That is correct.
That's the awesome thing.
Here's the thing about munitions failsafe. It's a great and powerful upgrade, especially at one point. The reason why I don't like it and why I don't think it ever gets played is because what is the point of shooting munitions? It's to do damage. And so putting on something that kind of goes counter to that, I feel like is just, I feel like it's intentionally spending at this point 4 points of a list to, as an insurance policy. But now that I think about it, it's the exact same thing with heroic, except for heroic keeps you alive. Munitions failsafe just saves you from having to spend a charge.
Well, also, does it save you from spending your calculate?
It does. Yeah, to keep you alive.
There you go.
Yes.
But these are TFDs. They're I1.
I honestly think that's really smart.
Right. So it makes the failsafe even better. It means clankers. You can 100% burn your calculate on an evade with confidence that even if you whiff the shot, you're not going to blow your munitions.
You shouldn't really be defending after you shoot, because like how often are you running into?
No, you're using it to stay alive. I've watched a lot of games with TFDs. It doesn't matter if they have Kraken, you pop. Like if you get hit with four dice, you're probably dead even with a calculator.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying. What I'm saying is at initiative one, like the munitions fail safe, like either you spend the calculate or you don't spend the calculate, but you're not going to be using it for defense after you shoot because you're initiative one.
Perhaps Gilbert's greatest fear in this tournament was facing the Tie Swarm. Then it comes into play with the Academy and Wampa.
I did.
Right? Like, I think that's... Oh, and then, of course... Oh, look at what won, right? With the initiative two gold squadrons.
Oh, he had no chance in that game.
I just think
Gilbert had no chance.
I know. I completely agree. But you look at again. You know, now that we have all the results, you look at it, and that's what I see is that, you know, yes, they're initiative one. You know, whatever. They're bumpers, right? Hopefully, they can get the token to do shit. Sorry, but.
Sorry,
I do think that in looking at other lists, I think that you know it's for the initiative ones that really matter, right? Wampa, the Academy. Unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot more in this tournament, but a lot of things at this tournament also, you know, go down to multi-fire, right?
I just think that. This guy wanted, look, energy shells are going to miss sometimes. If you miss with your energy shell and you have to recharge your energy shell,
two turns.
you are not a threat the next turn. If you have munitions failsafe and you miss with your energy shell charges, you're a threat again the next turn. And that means shots coming at you and not at Darth Maul.
This might have been one of the first times where somebody probably broke their formation up. It might have been more of a two element thing.
Well, there's the thing too, right? Like, you know, and I think the true sleeper in Gilbert's list is the proton bombs. Because that's one of the best ways to, at least as a resistance player who played against the separatists, like getting behind them was everything. And when they're dropping the proton bomb, even if you haven't done a whole lot of damage, like, you know, all it takes is one of those, you know, one damage, right? Like, oh, my shields are down. I'm down to one, or I'm down to, you know, no shields. I think the proton bombs can really, really help as well.
Darth also, Maul.
No title on.
It's Darth anti-thematic, Maul. But I don't think Darth Maul cares about the title. I think Dooku it's glued to.
Who cares about that?
He did also run the Grievous crew card on Maul, which I'm not sure if you guys have seen a lot of, but in this list, it's actually fairly strong. While you defend after the neutralize result step, if there are two or more hit or crit results, you can spend one energy to cancel a hit or a crit. After a friendly is destroyed, recover one charge. So he's got up to 4 damage to pull off of an 11-hull ship that also regenerates
force. Like, hey, Wedge, you shoot a proton torpedo at me? Cool, thanks for the force. Yeah.
And I'm going to neutralize your crit.
Lol.
I mean, and then you can't really shoot the droids instead of him because they have increased defensive efficiency with their calculate tokens. It's a good list.
It's not what I expected to be a good list. I did not expect to see a good list with only 4 droids in it, but that's a pretty impressive list.
This makes me want to fly Separatists. I want to put this on the table because I think it'd be fun. It's all about flight, right? You know, you have to make sure you get your things. It could be tough. I don't know. In hyperspace, like, what is this? I mean, there's a lot of things that this can be scared of, but...
Look at this dude who finished 3rd with Han Solo and Lando Calrissian.
Jeff, you talked about that a long time ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I can't make it work.
Why not? What are you running into, Jeff?
We all have that list.
I can't get the output. What I'm basically running into is that my Han Solo, who rolls 4 dice and then rolls 4 dice again, gets average then below average. That's what I'm running.
So Lando, I think that ship, that list, or at least I think Han only takes 2 of his possible 5 actions every turn. He's either boosting to dodge a crap ton of arcs, or he's taking Lando, and if he doesn't get paint on 2 dice, he rerolls. And if he doesn't get paint on 2 dice, then he gets what he gets. But the best part about 2.0 Lando is that if you get blanks, you still get something.
Yeah, but you get an evade, and that doesn't matter if ships aren't shooting at you. By the way, so the other action Han Solo takes is he takes a focus when he doesn't have any arcs on him. Because you don't want to roll Lando and not get a focus when you're just shooting and not being shot. But I'm impressed. I just couldn't get it to work. I also think it's interesting that he's got Luke.
You'll notice that it did not work in the cut. He placed last in cut.
Well, he got to the cut, which I haven't done yet. But no Leia. He took Luke instead of a lesser X-Wing or a lesser ship and Leia.
Like, thing.
Well, he gave up Dutch, Jake. I mean, he gave up what could have been action economy to take the most survivable X-Wing in existence, arguably.
Question, what do people think about
Luke is such a brick.
Brilliant evasion on a stealth device.
He can Luke. Be.
Isn't brilliant always bad?
So, yes, except not on Luke. Like, Luke is the only one you would run it on unless you're somebody that we're going to get to later.
Well, read it.
Brilliant evasion is just you spend a force to convert 2 focuses to 2 evades.
On a 3 agility Luke.
Yeah, so it's 1 for 2 as opposed to terrible. 2 for 1.
I think when you have basically unlimited force, there's nothing wrong
with it. The only thing I'm thinking about it is blank dice still ruin your day.
You would definitely want to add. You would want to have something else in the list,
like Jin.
Okay, I'm confused. How do you get a 3 agility Luke?
You put a stealth device on him.
I mean,
I break that. I think I just broke Jeff.
Jeff is not happy right now.
Brilliant evasion is terrible. It's just you guys are vastly overestimating how often you roll 2 eyeballs on defense rolls.
Well, the point is that it's if you only run 1, you're spending the force anyway. But if you ever roll 2, you don't have to blow 2.
Well, yeah,
force.
But
you don't blow his.
You're
whole
blowing thing. Points in your force slot.
Yeah.
Instead,
Jeff will blow. We'll blow anything.
What does anybody's? What does anybody spend on Luke anymore that isn't instinctive, though? Like, really?
I mean, yeah. That's why people fly Luke naked.
I like to put at least a flight suit on my Luke.
I mean, you guys, whatever you like, school, but Brilliant Evasion looks terrible to me. Just the full stop.
No, I totally agree. Back when it was first previewed, I was super stoked about it, but I was assuming it'd be like 2 points.
Well, it might end up being 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's expensive.
Also, I like how they introduced scaling by initiative. with the points adjustment, and then the instant they dropped Separatist and Republic, everything was scaled by initiative.
Yeah, we talked about that. Jeff and Drew disagree with me that Delta 7 should not be initiative.
At first, I agreed with you, but I do tend to agree with the rationale that people have offered me.
That's because you hate everything above initiative too.
I don't know what that means. I think they're right.
I think it should be scaled by initiative, but not so aggressive.
Yes, not 16 points. Absolutely. Agreed.
Because here's the thing.
Jeff, what I meant was is that you're biased against high initiative.
No.
Here's the thing, though. Look at Anakin as the quintessential example. A third attack die is so much more powerful. And then losing an agility, great. You know what's awesome?
Not good
at is power. Anakin doesn't need to be shot at all. At which point, who cares how much agility he has?
Right. That's why it's scared by initiative.
Keep your mod slot. So for the measly price of an extra 8 points, you keep 3 agility.
I want to point out one other list in this before we move on to Orlando. This is going to be my proof positive that Wolf is too cheap. This is very close to the Anakin build I'm thinking about running. Anakin, R4P17, Delta 7B in a stealth device, and he's still able to take Wolf with a hull upgrade and 2 golds.
Didn't I just mention Anakin with a stealth device being kind of ridiculous?
No, you said Luke. No,
he just said Anakin. He said it.
Oh, he was talking about Anakin.
Yeah.
Oh, I must...
Yeah, because it's the whole, like, I have 3... He's flying an E-Wing. Anakin is flying a freaking E-Wing.
Yeah, I have no counter-argument. I mean,
A much better E-Wing. It's everything that Corin... It's everything that Corin should have been. With the Force and all.
And
the monster he could be.
And he could have dropped hull upgrade to put heightened on Anakin so he can outshoot I-6s.
Mm.
If you wanted to points Fortress Anakin.
Yeah, that
Wolf's a reroll, right?
Reroll
Wolf is a reroll out of his front arc and an extra die out his rear arc.
To get the charge back.
Yeah, he recovers a charge to fire another die. That's why he's...
I'm stoked for is Ahsoka Gunner on him.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, just go ahead and ram him in there. He gets to reroll out his primary and he gets the force point to mod the shot. Like, what are actions?
Yep.
That's what clapped me at the Santa Clara hyperspace trial.
Was Wolf?
Was Wolf, Jan, a 104th, and Luminara.
Is he 200 points?
He has to. If there's any room in that list, it's ridiculous.
I'm going to look it up, guys. Because
that's a 90-something point Anakin.
I can pull it up right quick. So we got Delta 7.
Just wondering Anakin. About R3, Mac.
I think it's 91. I think it's a 91 or 93 point Anakin.
Stealth device. R4, P17.
Yeah.
And no force upgrade. So it's 91.
It is 91. Yep.
Let's get some Wolf up in here. With it.
He might have a bid, guys. I'm thinking
with a whole upgrade. Oh, and it's gold squadrons?
Yeah, so another.
Oh, don't worry. He just has a 5 point bid.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yikes.
Honestly, veteran turret gunner and R3 astromech.
Veteran tail gunner?
Veteran tail gunner and R3 astromech. 200 points.
No, it's not. That comes out to be 202.
How much is veteran tail gunner 6?
No, if he's I think he means if he subtracts the whole upgrade.
Yeah.
And that's 199.
Wow.
Also, yikes. You could make the Super Wolf and have...
You could put munitions failsafe on Wolf, too.
Off the rails, Anakin.
But seriously, R3 Astromech and Veteran Tailgunner? Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Cool.
My only concern about that list, Jeff, is that Wolf gets a reroll out his front arc. And so there's a little bit of redundancy there.
No, there is, but if you watch the Inertial Han, there are a lot of times where you want to reroll more than one die, but not reroll all of them.
Right. He's also it's
and that's where the, that's where that that target lock comes in handy.
It's also Jeff's favorite meme. Yeah, Yo, dog. I heard you like rerolls. Meme.
Yeah.
Fair.
Anyway, that's interesting.
That's about all that I that I'm that's kind of jumping out at me about this list, other than the Obi-Wan and beef list.
I mean, I will point out that ninth place was Thane Wedge Luke, all with protons. Holy goodness.
Yeah.
I played against this a long, long time ago.
Really he also has really bad strength of schedule, if you look. I think he submarined. He probably got beat by one of the top guys real early, and then just munched on scrubs.
Yeah.
With a .41. He might not have played anybody with a winning record until round four.
Not that we're dissing you, Matthew. We're not dissing you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean...
I wasn't going to put his name on it.
It's, it was...
Well, his name's right there.
It's still a good... I still think it's a decent list, though. I mean, you know, you're... It's two... What is it? It's Alpha Strike, right? Like...
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And there's the instinctive aim on Luke, so even I-6s are scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
And I think that that might be how the list did so well.
Because Luke's shooting at initiative 7 with a almost fully modified proton torpedo.
No, no, no. That's not I-7. He's range control with your I-6? Great. Take a torpedo anyway.
Oh, he's shooting without the lock.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I don't know why I thought it was heightened. Maybe because I wouldn't run anything else.
He should have the munitions failsafe.
I doubt he had the points, Jeff.
The X-wings are also pretty tanky, right? So like you can take a shot or two, and if he's got at least two, you know, shots on whoever's shooting him, right? Like that's two proton torpedoes.
Yeah.
Or at least one from Luke.
That's about all I think that we're liable to glean from the Cool Stuff Waterford trial. Finally, we get to the list I want to talk about. It may have come fourth place, but I'm jumping right to it. This is my show. I do what I want. Mr. Steven Rice flying Obi-Wan and Anakin and nothing the hell else with Delta 7B, shield upgrades, R2s, and brilliant evasion.
It's the
guys,
Easter. It's the Easter
have fun.
List.
He also had 1,900 points of MOV.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen them. Jeff and you know you two with Dan getting back into the game. Shout out to the to Trinity Squad. The Aether Sprite, like watching it play on the board, I'm like, I want to fly that ship. They are so fun and so maneuverable. I could easily see the list doing well, especially with Kenobi giving you multiple focus tokens. Like,
it's unlimited focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're never gonna. Enough ships to drain the rest of it.
The force to like give it to keep it. You're right, but like even so, man, you know that. I mean, if you look at you know hyperspace ish lists, right? Like, okay, each list has about three or four ships, maybe five, right, or more. But you know, Kenobi being able to give you know, oh, Anakin's gonna get shot up by three ships. Well, the first ship that shot him with, the second ship shoots. Oh, he spends a focus. Kenobi. We'll give him one more focus back. And then he gets shot at again, right? Like, that's, oh my gosh, that's...
Also, hey, Jeff, how much hold do they have, or how much health do they have?
They're 7 each. They have odd numbers.
And it's all in the shields, so they don't take crits to get...
They're better defenders.
With the ability to spend one force to turn two focuses into evades.
So you might not even need... So if you can blow your focus offensively and still have, you know, still trust your... Trust your luck on the defense with just one force.
I'm still trying to get my brain around brilliant evasion when you've only got two agility. I'm just
well. Seems kind of
well. You
also, Drew, I'm going to jump in. Drew, I'm going to jump in here.
I'm going to jump in after you.
Yeah, it also seems kind of what's the word superfluous when you're running Kenobi. Yeah.
But at the same, all it takes is a slightly above average roll on the evade dice.
No,
right.
Brilliant evasion on two green dice happens one in 16 shots.
Never tell me the odds.
Well, also, hey, Jeff, what's the math on heroic? 1 in 14?
No, the math on heroic in two green dice is 1 in 7.
And can we...
And it's 1 point.
Talk about the fact that it's not supernatural?
I don't think he had 60 points laying around.
Yeah.
Sorry. Luke and or Anakin and Kenobi are pretty expensive.
The only thing I can see in this list is blue hard ones.
No.
Blue heart, yep.
That's no, what I love.
No. Those are repair droids, buddy.
Those are repair droids. Sorry, never mind. And I mean, again, that list it makes sense if you look at it, right? Like,
do you take shield upgrade at 8 points, or do you take trash or rig cargo, whatever it's called, spare parts canisters for 4?
Spare parts canister.
Yeah. Spare parts. I probably wouldn't take either one.
It's a good question, Rick. I mean, you know, I love the odd hit points, but spare parts canister when shedding those target
like locks, it gives you utility. And yes, you have to then take an action to kill that charge to turn it into a shield. But the flip side is, like, it's 4 points cheaper.
This dude just has all the breath. This dude's just like, I fly better than everybody my game store.
That's what the list looks like.
Also, you know, the argument for spare parts in this list is that your i5 and i6 and most of the things target lock you were probably going to be lower than that. So you break the lock, then you move in close. They don't have a focus because they had to lock you, and you shred them.
Well, and then take a look. We have the top 20 lists here, and I think the only one there's like two Vaders, and then there's a bunch of i5s. You know, Venny, Lulo.
There's a lot of Fobs.
Elo, Kylo. I mean, quick draw, sure, but like I don't think
quick draw's different.
Yep. Yeah, so like again, you look at the field, and I think that, you know, obviously it's trolly, but when you look at what he's going up against, I am not surprised.
I really do. This guy is just like, I'm the best flyer in my store.
I'm just imagining him with with the spare parts running against that 4 Tempest or the 5 Tempest list now.
I like the spare
parts. They would cry. They might scoop after the first pass. Like, really.
It's true. Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is they're going to joust. The 7Bs are probably going to kill one.
Oh, my God.
What?
Delta 7B. 18
points of what?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yep.
Delta 7B on Anakin is a brick of points. But since we talked about a Republic list that got fourth, we should give credit to the winner, Sam Page, with a very similar Anakin build, just minus 2 upgrades. Anakin R2 and Delta 7. Ahsoka with Heightened and Delta 7, which is my preferred build on her. And then 2 completely stock Gold Squadron Troopers. This is kind of the 4 ships we're seeing out of Republic, unless you go full on beef. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's true.
Can I just rant for like a hot second about R2 Astro on Aether Sprites, and that
you're kind of stepping on my territory there.
Well, we brought him on for content, so I wanted to get I want my minutes worth. Go ahead, Rick.
I get the idea of regenning, but like at that point, the Delta 7B is kind of clutch because it gives you the extra shields and all of that, which is great and all, but it just feels like such a ridiculously obnoxious, and I'm struggling with the word here, but I it's a lot of points to invest into a ship, which I mean makes sense because the strategy is to go pew pew and run away for 45 minutes.
Yeah, but what? Why not have the ability to pew pew and run away for 45 minutes and heal yourself?
That's my point. I think that's ridiculous. Play the damn game.
Well, I mean,
I agree with that. I agree with that.
You look at and Jeff and I got into this. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not, but some of the most top tier competitive X-Wing, you know, people don't engage until like 40 minutes in. Right. And it's real fast. It's real quick. And especially in a list like this with only 2 ships, right? Like you come in, you deal the damage, and then you run away and you heal back up, and then by that time is called, and oh, look, you've got it.
Yeah.
Also, this cures Jeff's biggest problem with the Delta 7 upgrade. It only takes one... it really only takes one shield to bump you back above half.
Yep, exactly. It's the one time, oh, we're coming back around and I don't have a shot. I may as well just get that, oh, half points? Nope. And now I'm back
in
the
basically
fight.
It makes your non-shooting turns valuable.
Yep.
Towards margin of victory.
Yeah, no, I totally get, it's a winning strategy. I just, as somebody
I feel you on
who
that.
Would set up across from it, I would just be like, come on, man.
Let me just say, Rick, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Only credits.
You have the death sentence on this podcast, Drew, if you so can do that again.
I've been running the math, right? So I've been fretzing around with the builder. You take off Brilliant Evasion, which is just fucking stupid. Oh, sorry. Which is just stupid.
Oh my god. Wait. Vince, you have to edit it out with a Chewbacca roar.
No, Jeff, continue.
Brilliant Evasion is terrible on these ships. He's got
Jeff, skip to the content.
The content is spare parts canisters instead of shield upgrade. And get rid of Brilliant Evasion. You've got 36 points to play with.
Whoa!
Hold on. Not 36 points to play with. You've got a supernatural Luke. Or sorry, Anakin.
You got it. If you
oh, dear God.
Supernatural Anakin. Yeah. And a 4-point bid still.
Stop. Are you serious? How much does Brilliant cost?
6 points each. It's
stupid. Oh my God.
Wait.
Never take it.
No. Hang on. That math isn't right. That's 28 points. That's 28 points.
I'm telling
it's
you.
12 plus 16.
Anakin is 86. Obi-Wan is 78. That's 164. That's 36 points left.
So you're saying that Steven had a bid?
Yeah.
Why would you run that list without a bid? Oh my goodness.
Because YOLO. I mean, if you think you're the best guy on the board.
He does. That's
what do you need the bid for?
There's any question that he thinks he's the best. But, okay, so look, 36 points. Yes, supernatural reflexes.
wait.
On Obi-Wan and a 12.
Yeah, I would put the supernatural on Obi-Wan because then when you run into an I-6, whatever.
Yes. You just get out.
Yeah.
And. You still have a 12-point bid. I think your spare parts canisters is right on, Rick.
Okay. No, I've loved spare parts from the minute I saw them. I might start running them on X-Wings.
I almost put them into my T-70 builds. But, of course, Poe is a very sad man when, Vader's moving after him and the spare parts doesn't really do a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there's, there's always pain for that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the three shields in Heroic is for.
Right.
Actually, let me stop there. That's what Heroic is for.
Right. Live and die by the dice.
It's for feelers, not thinkers.
It's true. It's true. But I do think the supernatural on Ooby Dooby Scooby Dooby Canooby is amazing.
I do think, by the way, that. In all seriousness, I think Heroic is for feelers and thinkers because it makes me feel better. And I know that it's making me feel better, and that makes me more relaxed when I'm flying my A-Wings.
Don't be relaxed, Jeff. Be as tense as possible.
Well, yeah.
I just want to go back to the Steven Rice list real quick. How bad was he clubbing people if his MOV is almost 2,000?
Bad.
In six games?
Assuming they played six.
That's out of 400.
Jesus.
We're Sherlocking this. So not only was he sure that he was the best player in his local store, he probably was.
He probably is.
He lost a total of 464 possible MOV in the tournament.
Yeah.
I'll bet you it's because of those R2s.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, that's... No. Drew's right. Probably not
wrong. He regained above half points several times, I bet.
Here...
Yep.
He did his
yep.
damage and he ran
here's
away.
Here's my issue with that too, though, is I struggle to see how he kills all 200 points.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
Then how does he
does such high MOV?
How does he only miss out on 450 at MOV?
Yeah, he has to
Killing everything. Well, I think if you look at the rest of the lists, this wasn't a tournament with a lot of beef. I mean, just if you like look at what we do see, like the you know, you've got a drone spam, you've got one Venny list, which if he had run into that, they would have laughed at him. Vader, Vermeil, Gideon, and Countdown, he would have shredded that. Five A-Wing Resistance, also dead.
We also want to talk about the fact that he lost to Resistance 5, or the five A-Wings twice. That was the only list that could beat him, and it beat him twice.
Oh, because they're the only thing that aren't afraid of him outflying yeah. them. Because yeah, they just shoot backwards.
Well, there's the thing, too, the intimidation with advanced optics. I think that's pretty...
That's a great... That is a great upgrade, and it's totally underplayed.
I think it has its place for sure. I think it's definitely good, but I feel like Crackshot. But that's me. But yeah, no, I mean, they've got, I mean, if, you know, all four of the five have advanced optics, like it's, you know, reliable two damage, right? Like
that's the list that exactly lost to twice, or did he lose to the other one twice?
He lost to Brett at least once. Would be my guess. I can't guarantee this. But looking at it, Brett is the only 6-0. So he's the one who won Swiss.
And I would gotcha.
No, Sam Page is the one. Sam Page is.
What?
Oh, no, you're right. Brett Free. You're right. Brett's. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So Brett, I would assume that he would have lost to the first place. Though he might have lost to Paul. But then you look, he and Paul both lost in the cut of four. Which means he either lost to Anakin, Ahsoka, Gold, or he lost to Brett. And my guess is he lost to Resistance 5 two times in a row and didn't, because I don't necessarily see him losing to Anakin, Ahsoka, Gold.
Yeah, you just
the Resistance 5s with that many crack shots would be a real problem for the 70s.
Would be. And you can't avoid all those arcs, and you... If they get decent on their defense dice, you just can't kill them fast enough.
And you're burning your force. You're burning your force on mods.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to push.
You're just gonna burn it down. You're just trying to push the damage through.
That's it.
He probably just got worn down. And also, he can't get away and use R2 in that game. You can't get away from five A-wings.
He also probably lost because he didn't roll enough focuses for brilliant evasion.
Clearly.
Ugh.
Tell me more.
Oh, Drew, you're mean to Jeff. Me it's hilarious.
I'm not being mean to him. I do agree. Looking at the fact that Brilliant Evasion is 6 points, I take back everything I said about it. I don't think it should ever be.
I doubt it's gonna stay at six.
I think Brilliant Evasion
it's gonna come down
as heroic. Whether heroic is worth one or worth two, I would argue it's worth one. I think Brilliant Evasion's worth the same.
Yeah,
can we also take a hot second to talk about the fact that there has been a identical, give or take an EPT, TIE Swarm in every cut?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
You've argued about
that. Across all these tournaments.
Do you want me to repeat my diatribe on why Aiden should be 50 points?
No, because I think that's not true. And I prefer to live in ignorance.
40's too cheap because she's an auto take.
Yeah.
We agree with you, Rick, by the way.
Aiden's good, but the more dice coming at her, the worse she is.
Right, but it doesn't matter, though. Because if you're shooting at Aiden, you're not shooting at Hellrunner,
exactly. I just think
So like clumsy. she wins either way.
Oh, no, I Aiden is Hellrunner because once Aiden spends her charge, fantastic.
Well, I think the I've always said that the point should be shoot at Aiden because you want her to burn it protecting herself because that's how she gets the least value. Eh. Of it.
You shoot at anything because anything is going to draw Iden. You just have to shoot the same thing.
Yes. Correct.
Yep. It's the what is it? It's it all depends on the engagement, right? Like I played the Tie Swarm just this last weekend for our like league tournament thing that we're doing, and I rolled really well on Lulo, range 3 obstructed, and he blanked on Gideon, and he was like, am I going to spend Iden to save Gideon?
Yes.
Or sorry, it was Wampa. It was Wampa.
Yes.
Oh, you let Wampa die.
No.
And he opted for Wampa to die because next turn all the shots were going to be coming at Hellrun.
No.
Because he was out of position.
No, I would have saved Wampa because, yeah, next turn you're shooting at Hellrunner, but Wampa's still going to draw at least one shot because of...
And if Wampa does, Wampa's going to be firing 3 dice.
Yep.
I'd let it go.
You say...
Right, but Wampa...
Because if you pop... No. Because if you pop Hellrunner, guys, it's 3 dice with just a focus, meaning you're really only looking at 2
damage. Not if you swarm tactics.
Unless you're running an I-6.
Yeah.
Iden saves the first tower, the first TIE fighter that pops.
Yep.
If damage trickles in, if you're popping Iden to save 1 damage on a TIE fighter, on Wampa, maybe not. But
right, it did in the tournament. It did turn out to be his downfall because the other damage that I was putting through, it was like 1 damage. You know, oh, we got a good one in here, 2 damage, right? But like not death, right? Another 1 damage on another TIE fighter. And it was just one of those things where it was like, yeah, I mean, you basically spend Iden on the first TIE fighter that would die. That was the general consensus.
Yeah. And again, Iden's thing is clumsy. It is a clumsy way to give a TIE player insurance. But it's not an unbalanced, clumsy way to give TIE fighter insurance. Maybe there's a better way to do it. I don't know, a squadron title that, you know, lets you somehow reroll defense dice or something like that for a certain number of times, like we've talked about before. But it's not a terrible way to do it.
It's called Delmico.
There's a whole another conversation here about whether or not you run Delmico or you run Sane with marksmanship.
But it's a different type of Delmico isn't an insurance policy the way that Iden is. Delmico
is
more of a normal TIE fighter special ability. Iden is not a normal TIE fighter special ability.
It is a pure and
simple variance insurance.
Scrolling down, number 37, Jake, Wedge, Luke, and a partisan with Tactical and Leia.
It looks like 4-ship Leia Rebels is an auto win after all.
No, okay. What I'm pointing out there is that.
Did I say that out loud?
Two out of 3 tournaments will tell you.
I think you said that out loud to the straw man sitting next to you.
Hey, you don't talk about Bob like that.
My point, though, is we were looking at one of the other tournaments, and Wedge, Luke, U-Wing, Jake was like a top 4 finisher in the other tournament. And the difference is Cassian versus the Partisan.
I don't get I know why people run Partisans. I get it. It's math. Like, you just want more points for your shooters. Cassian is so good.
He is good. I'm not going to, you know.
I don't get it.
It's points.
Well, the biggest problem with it is, you know, in order to use Cassian properly, you need the right ships, right? With the right upgrades, right?
No, so it like, works with anything that you double at. Any X-Wing that takes 2 actions, you can do it.
I mean, I guess this is true. I just feel like you could use him more if your list was built around him, which is the reason why I think that, you know, it's the question of, do you take Cassian, you spend the points on it, or do you take a Partisan? Well, the rest of my list... You know, everything has K-turns, right? Or, like, Talon rolls or whatever you want. But, you know, I mean, you've got Leia for that, right? So, like...
And I mean...
I'd rather spend it into, you know, swarm tactics, right? Like...
You are discounting the value of a Partisan of a medium base ship as a blocker, too.
It's because, Jeff, I don't know how to block.
Blocking is difficult, so I don't blame you there. Blocking's tough.
Like, Van I Jeffen shoot stuff, blocking. I do it by accident, or I do it to myself.
Not only do you not know how to block, but I don't necessarily know if you know how to flank either.
That is an incorrect statement.
He knows how to be a turret, though.
Rick does not have a lot of respect for my X-Wing abilities.
One of my first memories of your X-Wing abilities is your decision to joust triple epsilons.
I had not played a competitive event in 7 years.
And triple epsilons, to be honest, caught a lot of people by surprise.
Oh, yes.
That list was cancerous.
And Handbrake Con is
that
not?
That list was so ridiculous that it got staked by the hand of God itself. Like, the FFG came down from the throne and smoked.
It did.
Triple Upsilon. That's how ridiculous that list was.
I think Haba the Cut is a bad list, Rick, but I don't think that it is yet proven to be something like Triple
Upsilon. So when Triple Upsilon was the thing, I did a lot of thinking about how to beat it. And I could come up with a couple ways to survive the opening joust and then play against it. When I spent a week thinking
with how many different
lists what?
Could you do that? With how many different lists could you do that?
Probably about four that I was considering taking, and only probably about two of those was actually any good. The other two were tech to survive triple ups.
Yeah. So the triple epsilon narrowed your list choices down for a tournament to two lists.
But I hear that argument, and where I was going is when thinking about Handbrake Han, I was trying to think about what list I could bring that can point a solid arc that's not going to disappear on a single die roll at eight different places on the board. And I was thinking about it, and I just couldn't figure out a way. Like, back when Ghost Fen was a thing, I actually wasn't too scared or intimidated by it, and I felt like I could beat it. Triple Up Bombs, I felt like I could outfly. Handbrake Han, I sat there and I looked at it, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do against this?
So watch Blake Bunky
playing
Andrew Bunn. Blake beat Andrew Bunn, also a player, with it twice. So watch those games. It is a really strong list. It is, but it is more skill intensive than people think it is. Andrew Bunn made, in both games, he made one mistake of when to boost, and the game, that was it. He boosted when he shouldn't have, and that was it.
Well, we were going to talk about Handbrake Han, which is my new favorite name for a list.
Haba the Cut.
But we are running up. We are going to run up on the clock here pretty soon. In fact, as per usual, we've run clean over. Rick, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We hope to bring you back very, very soon.
Okay, thank you.
Just win a tournament, and we'll bring you back.
If I don't have to win tournaments to be on this show, he doesn't have to.
I did get third in Swiss at San Francisco Hyperspace before I had to drop because have like a job and stuff.
Responsibilities and adult things.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Why do that?
Anyway, we are going to go ahead and sign off here. Thank you folks so much for joining us, and we will see you all next week. For Vincent, Jeff, and Drew, we are signing off.
Have a good week.
Rule it again.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.